I'm going to be reading here from Ephesians chapter 2. And this is three verses from verses 8 to 10. And this is God's word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. One Christian author, he writes about a time when he was sitting at his desk and he was having scolded his daughter for misbehaving, and says then he heard a gentle knock on the door and said for her to come in. Bethany comes in and she said this, he says rather matter-of-factly, "Daddy, sometimes I'm good and sometimes I am bad, and that is just the way it is." Said she left the room and acting like she had completely explained all of human misbehavior and for all time, and he later commented to her that she had described the problem that we all face. We all do bad things, and that's why the Bible says even the good things we do are not good enough to meet God's standards of holiness, and that's why we need a Savior. And I'm sometimes good, sometimes bad too, right? I mean, all of us could probably think of that, but that's pretty profound for 4 years old. Probably a pretty good summary of my childhood. And there's times you think back to things you did and as a little kid, and sometimes I cringe in some of those things there. Maybe I was just turned loose. I might have been feral or something. I'm not sure. But I remember back in my uncle's farm, and I was remembering his funeral not too many weeks back. And I went from a kid who hated cats. I don't know why, what they'd ever done wrong to me. But I hated them to then all of a sudden I really loved cats. But I was in trouble once for taking a little baby kitten and hanging it. You know, I was caught, and I think back to that, like, how would a kid even do that? Like, where was I getting such ignorance, probably 4 or 5 years old, to then to the point where all of a sudden I loved them. I couldn't have enough, and we didn't have any, so I was trying to smuggle them home. First, a big cat was thrown into the trunk when Dad was there. Cat was a tattletale, and, you know, got taken back to my uncle's farm. Thought the big cat didn't cut it, so I would get a little bunch of kittens, so I had a bag of kittens. You don't want noise, so you put them in a good plastic bag. Threw them into the back of the trunk, but somehow they still were making enough racket. Maybe the lack of air. And still in trouble. And finally, eventually, they gave in and we had a cat come home with us. But I think back, like some of those things just crazy in terms of all that. And then a time where I took my lens off binoculars, shining on my sleeping older brother's arm till, you know what, obviously you're getting there, like magnifying till he's like, something bit me, and I was like, oh, that's must have been a bee. Shooting my younger brother in the leg with a BB gun because I was curious if it would hurt or not. I mean, I kind of wonder how these siblings and everything even survived. But I also then think, if it wasn't for the grace of God, what would I have turned out like? I mean, do you ever think that? I mean, if it wasn't for the grace of God, what would have our lives been like? And I often think there's probably a pretty good chance I would have ended up dead or in prison. I mean, if that was my childhood and it was just going to go downhill from there, because of all those kind of crazy things, sometimes I was good, sometimes I was bad, just the way I was. But thankfully, that has changed. Somewhat at least, and I'm sure most of us think that in terms of our life, that looking back and some of those crazy things and what we did in regard to that, sinful things that have changed in our lives. But I have to think as we go through this series, is there more that God has in mind for my life? Is there more that God has in mind for your life, wherever you're at now? And that's really what this church of Ephesus was trying to figure out. And I've mentioned over the years, and as we've gone years back through this book, there was a sense of this worry, this fear that had gripped the church of Ephesus. I mean, we think and we look at some of these cities now, but this back then, this was a city that was gripped in this dark magic, this witchcraft, this Satanism that was taking place. People that were doing these hexes and spells and all that stuff that was happening, practicing their evil arts. And that kind of a darkness, you have this church come out of it, this little church of Ephesus as Paul founded it. But the people still had fears of what the others that were left out there in the darkness could do. Could they still have these hexes and spells put on them? They were fearful of that sense of dark evils, fearful of whether or not God would be able to keep them or if they could just fall back into that sense of a darkness. And it's really in that kind of a context that Paul writes here to this church and reminds them that they stand firm in the love of Christ. And he reminds them of God's incredible power. I mean, power that is unlike anything they have ever seen. And I've mentioned over the years, and it's not like the old Fred Flintstone cartoons, you know, you got the little demon, you got the little angel, and it's kind of like balanced in a way that you could think a lot of people of God, devil, right? And it's kind of like the little teeter-totters. It's not even close to that. I mean, God and all his power and Satan, he's like nothing in terms of all that. So not even a question that he makes in terms of their mind. Just know this. God is powerful beyond anything. And then the reminder to know that they are secure in his love. That his ability to keep them is beyond anything that they can know. That their salvation is secure. And that's so important. I've been mentioning as we've been going through this bit that that's the foundation upon which we need to build our lives as believers. That sense of security, that nothing is going to come and change God's incredible love for you or me. Nothing is going to come and ever steer that in any other direction. Nothing you've done in your past, present, whatever that might look like in your childhood, nothing you can do now, nothing you can do in the future that will ever change God's incredible love for you. And it's on that foundation that this church was hearing from Paul and knowing that truth. But you can think in terms of all of that. If that's all taken care of, if we stand secure and all of that stuff, and I'm going to say more about security in a number of weeks here to come, but if that's the truth, then what? If I know I'm saved by grace through faith, I stand firm because of that. And that's where I really left off in the last number of weeks here in speaking, that if we're free from those sense of lists, those rules, the laws, we know that we are God's children. And if it's not about these rules and laws, we're not trying to earn our salvation, we're not trying to keep our salvation. So then what does God have in mind for us as believers? Right? If you're secure in that, you're his child, nothing's going to change that. What then does God have in mind to be doing in your life? You're safe, you're secure, you can't be disowned as his child. And I always like what Charles Stanley says. He says, you can't do anything to make him love you more, and you can't do anything to make him love you less. So on that foundation, and that's where I've been building over these weeks into, you know, now what? Is maybe how I would summarize that. As I've read through scripture over and over, and I would think how to summarize that so now what question, I would say that the easiest way to look at what is happening is that God is looking to be at work in us and through us. You know, working in me and through me, as I've titled this message. And that really summarizes a lot of what the Bible says, that after becoming believers, God has in mind to keep working in our lives, transforming us through the Holy Spirit, who has said of over the years is guaranteed to be inside of each and every one of us as believers. That's the promise. If you're a believer, Holy Spirit is inside living and working in you and doing those spiritual things that he will be doing in our lives. And so for us then, now we need to look at how are these things, two things happening in our lives. So in terms of living out our faith, what is God looking to do in me? And what is God looking to do through me? And each of us as believers needs to be really answering that question. And we were told a few weeks ago, we're looking that we have these new selves, these new attitudes. So in terms of working in me, that God has a mind to work to bring about change such as the fruit of the Spirit. Less of the anti-fruit. I mean, you go to Galatians, and I'll just give you a little summary here as you go back and look, and I'll read through all of it there. But you go to Galatians chapter 5, for instance, and talks about all these sinful deeds we could be doing otherwise. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Versus the contrast that then we were given and the one we will know from there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you remember how I said to always remember it, love, joy, peace, package of figs. All right, you get the PKG, the FGS at the end. I mean, that's That's the good stuff that God's looking to bring in us. That's life in the Spirit, it says, and keeping in step with the Spirit and walking it. God's looking to do good change and great change in our lives. If we look at the church of Ephesus and all their evil past, Paul is telling them now that God is planning and making them into new selves and with these new attitudes, and that God does care and wants us to get rid of all that junk that's harmful in our lives. I mean, the sin that causes downfall, destruction, the sin that eats away at us, that God's looking to take and replace all those sinful things and to bring about more good fruit, good change, more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. And so I have to look at my life and think, is that's what God wants? How is that happening? How am I letting Him do that work to bring that? How can I help cooperate with getting rid of the junk and getting more of this new good stuff into my life? And how can you do that in your life? And so spiritually, that's going to bring about great change, mentally, physically, emotional change in that. W.H. Thomas, he says this about faith. Faith rests on God, receives from God, responds to God, relies on God, realizes God, rejoices in God, and reproduces His life and character. I mean, if we think of all He's saying here in His Word, is that it's never meant to be at all these rules and lists. And I've been stressing that over the last number of weeks. I mean, we grow up, and sometimes some kid, it's just all these rules you hear, and you learn in Sunday school, and if you can do that, and these certain things, and in a way that we get the feeling that that's the biggest part of what church and what Christianity is really about, that if I follow these things and I can keep even these unwritten rules that go along with churches, then somehow God is going to be happy with me and I'm going to be saved. But as I've been saying, it was never meant to be about that, because God looks, as I mentioned last week, in terms of heart change. And with a heart change is going to come the sense of all the rest of those things beginning to change in my life and your life. So again, as we can look back and think, but for the grace of God, what would we have been like? And because of the grace of God, what can we become like? Because the danger becomes, and I saw it, I experienced, as I've mentioned, in terms of that legalism, that all you begin to worry about is the rules. Looking the part, pretending to be a good believer, but hearts that are far from God in terms of all that. That's Matthew 15, as I mentioned last week. God's desire, change hearts. And when hearts are changed, then He begins to work in us and through us. Some more of the fruit. Do I need to be kinder? Gentler? It's all those things in terms of what God's looking to do. Listen to this little part here. A young man saw an elderly couple sitting down to lunch at McDonald's. He noticed that they had ordered one meal and an extra drink cup. As he watched, the gentleman carefully divided the hamburger in half, then counted out the fries, one for him, one for her, until each of them had a half. Then he poured half of the soft drink into the extra cup and set that in front of his wife. The old man then began to eat, and his wife sat watching with her hands folded in her lap. The young man decided to ask him if they would allow him to purchase another meal for them so they didn't have to split theirs. The old gentleman said, "Oh, no. We've been married 50 years, and everything has always and will always be shared 50-50. The young man then asked his wife if she was going to, and she replied, "Not yet. It's his turn with the teeth." More fruit, more kindness, more sharing. I mean, I look, and I think for each of us, we look at our lives, and what are the areas there that God is looking to reproduce His character in? I mean, that's part of this ongoing in areas that will bring about that incredible change. And that was the reminder of the church of Ephesus. And as he says in the passage I'd read, that there are these senses, God's workmanship. And what that was really saying is there are these works of art. There are these masterpieces. And this is building on that sense of security. When God looks at you, you're His masterpiece. You're His work of art. In a different way than sometimes people say you're really work of art. But that's, I mean, we're God's masterpiece. It's something incredible. That's how He looks at you and how He looks at me. I mean, never all those other things in life we could ever think. If we're saved by grace through faith, He looks and He sees you as He sees Jesus. This incredible masterpiece. And that's That's what's meant by this word workmanship and all this, that God's made them, he's made us into something beautiful. And as Paul would say then, now live that out. Right? God's made you to be a masterpiece, he's made you beautiful. Now just live that out. Become that person, become that people, live like the children of God. Live like the daughter of God, the son of God that he has made you to be. And in chapter 5, as he talks about us being imitators of God. So I don't need to think in a sense, I'm saved, so what now? Because I know that God is wanting me to become all that I was meant to be before sin came into the world. There's something ongoing. Will I ever be more loved by him? No, never. He always loves me, and that never changes. Saved, secure, and if I was to hiss out another S word, it would be sanctified. In a sense, made holy. God's change coming in us. I mean, saved, secure, sanctified, God working in us through the Holy Spirit to bring about these good changes that he has in mind for us. There's one Christian writer who writes this. He says, you cannot play with the animal in you without becoming holy animal. Play with falsehood without forfeiting your right to trust. Play with cruelty without losing your sensitivity of mind. He who wants to keep his garden tidy doesn't reserve a spot for weeds. And there's one I've read before by Jerry Wells, and I love this quote about holiness. He says, in our age, as in every age, people are longing for happiness, not realizing what they're looking for is holiness. I mean, it's good changes. These are things that if we get away from all that focus on rules and lists, thinking those are earning salvation or keeping salvation, that we can be focused on what does God really want to do and bring about his character in my life. I mean, the good change where there will be more love and more joy and more peace, more kindness, more gentleness, more patience, more of all this fruit that he will be doing inside of us. And God never forces us to change, as I've said over the years. He doesn't want robots. I mean, he doesn't want to just take, he could have made us robots in the beginning, but there's a sense where you gather scripture, he wants our hearts, right? I mean, he's given us this freedom so that we could choose him because he wants from our hearts to have us, and from a changed heart, we begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and there's change in us. There's a verse in Matthew 12:35 that says, the good man brings good things out of good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in him. You know what it says just prior to that, verse 34, from the overflow of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or other versions, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I mean, if he gets our heart, then there's stuff in there and it begins to change and it's good. And from that, good begins to come out. And that's the essence. We store up good stuff and good overflows from us. And that's the importance of all these choices. Cooperating with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. And that's what this passage of Ephesians, and I, as we talk about living our faith, reminds me of. That God has in mind for us to do good works he's prepared for us to do. God looks at you, you're his beautiful masterpiece. We look to take hold of that, become the person he has in mind for us to be. And then God's also all these other works and things for us to be doing, working through us, not to earn salvation, but because we are already saved. And that's why this is always such a great message of good news. We stand upon that firmness of people who are secure and knowing that we are saved. And then we're not busy trying to earn it, so we go and we begin to live like the children of God are meant to live. And verse 10 there is in the context of all those verses, standing on that realization, saved by grace through faith, not saved by work, but to do these good works. And we're not given a big list here. This isn't like all those church lists I've been talking about that you might come up with. That if you do all these things and follow the steps, or like the list back when I was young growing up, and you can throw, if you weren't eating any pork or lobster and all these other foods that were forbidden, if you weren't, you know, playing cards, or if you weren't riding your bike on Saturday for me, all these different things could be. That's not the list that's ever speaking in terms of the laws, and it's not small lists. You couldn't even say this is about the Ten Commandments per se, or all these other rules and laws. But it's about these good works that God's looking to do through us as a people who are changed by him. And how we live out this love, how we live out this kindness, how we make a difference in the lives of other people. So there's no specific list given because God doesn't want that to become the focus, but he wants our hearts, and from hearts that are changed, we begin to have that flow into all how we live out our lives. I mean, kindness to others and how we live, how we give, and the blessing of helping others. And I always believe we're a small church, but we really do care for each other. And people are generous with their giving, generous with their time, trying to help others when they see need or know the need that is there. Listen to a little story here by Bill Hybels, and it's a book called The God You're Looking For. When I was learning how to sail, Dad would often say to me, "Go ahead and take the boat out, but take a friend with you." A 42-foot sailboat on a body of water the size of Lake Michigan is a big responsibility. But I'd find a junior high friend, and we'd sail past the breakwater, hoist the sails, and head out to open water. If I saw any cloud formation come our way, or the wind seemed to be piping up, I'd head back towards shore, take the sails down, and regain my normal breathing pattern only when we were safely tied up in the slip. Most of the time, it was fun having a friend along, but in a storm, I knew the kid wouldn't be much help. Oftentimes, my dad would come home from work, and we'd take the boat out together. When I was sailing with my dad, I'd actually look for cloud formations and hope for heavy air. I loved to feel the strong winds and huge waves when I was with him. My dad had sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. He'd endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane. He was a veteran, and I was confident he would be able to handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us. Everything changed when my dad was on board. That's kind of really what Paul's telling the Ephesians here, this letter. I mean, God's for you. God's powerful. God loves you. God has great plans for your lives. Be secured in the fact of who your Father is, and that he will always be for you, and he will look to work out everything in your life, and he's looking to sort out all those things and change that we need to bring about in our lives through the Holy Spirit, that he's always in you and he's always for you, and he always has good things in mind for your life and good change and good works. And that's always so different than if we get tied up and we're worrying about just trying to feel saved, earn our salvation, or keep our salvation. Because now in freedom, knowing our Father is for us and how much he cares for us, we can, in that sense of security, begin to live out our faith. And that's why I've been stressing so much that sense of understanding that saved, secure, and then working on salvation and sanctification, becoming more Christ-like, more of who the Holy Spirit wants to make us. And I'm going to pick up and from here next week, because there's so much more to say. Like, what is God looking to do as he works through you? Because I really believe it's important. It brings that sense of greater meaning and purpose to our lives. That's true. That we look at believers in terms of all there. If there's nothing more happening after salvation, do we lose any really sense of meaning and purpose? Because you think in all these systems of legalism, you feel like you're always working towards something, trying to be saved. But if we're saved, is there still then no meaning, or is there still purpose to our lives? And we can think, for sure there is. And I know for sure that there is greater purpose, and we understand what God is looking to do in us. And greater purpose and meaning as we see him working through us to make a difference in the lives of others. And that's going to play a role how we feel spiritually as he works in us and through us. We're going to feel a greater sense of something happening because God made us, right, for all this fruit to be lived out. Made us to be a people who are sharing that love, living out that love, sharing that kindness and that gentleness. That's part of his character in us because that's who he is as God. And so we are made for spiritual growth, we could say. Made to do these good works that he has in mind for us, that he's prepared for in advance for us to do. Reverend Ronald Cusey writes this. He says, "When my oldest son was 6, he was sitting in our church service with his mother while I preached from the pulpit. My topic was parenting, and I was trying to make the point that we must not only talk God's truth, but walk it as well. I told the congregation that my favorite child-rearing proverb is, 'It doesn't matter what you say to your children, they will grow up to be just like you.' After I made that statement, I confessed that it scared me. I then asked if it scared anyone else. I looked out over the congregation to see that the only person with his hand raised was my son." Well, I hope I can grow up to be like my Father in heaven. And the change that he looks to have in mind and experience the joy and blessing of all he has. And Again, we can look back and think of all those things as kids and youth and all that sense of sometimes craziness and understand God's work. He's taken us and maybe taken us a long way, but he has in mind never to stop working in us. And spiritually, that he wants to grow me and use me more for his glory as he keeps working in my life, and spiritually to keep working your life. And it never matters at what age, from young to old, that he has in mind to keep working in you and working through you. So until next week, just think more in terms of that. Like, what does he want to be doing in you? I mean, what areas do you sense he wants to help you grow? And to think about how he wants to work through you in whatever ways, big or small, because as the Bible says, that he has good things prepared for you to do, that he's planned beforehand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, that your word is truth. And you know, as we reflect even on this passage and some of this greater aspects of themes from this book and really even all of Scripture, and you know, help us again just to realize, understand that security, that foundation of knowing we are people saved by grace through faith. Help us understand what was done for us on the cross and the sense of freedom that that now means for us, knowing that all those sins, past, present, future, were paid. And to understand that upon that foundation that you still have in mind great things for us. Now that we know that and understand that truth, that you are looking to work in us and bring about that Christ-like character and that change, and that you are looking to work through us, and that that love that you have for us is a love that will be working in our lives and impacting the lives of others around us. And all that kindness, gentleness, those things that you are doing in us that will impact how we make a difference in the lives of those. And that is part of our purpose and our meaning. And that feels, you know, a sense of a void that is there, that as we know and understand that security, we can begin to impact others. And so, Father, I just pray for that great reminder in all these things. In Christ's name, amen.